Amen. Can we give him a praise offering this morning? He's worthy. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. Amen. While I have you standing, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer this morning. Father, we just want to thank you, Father, for the opportunity once again, Lord, to come to this place, Father, and to worship you, to hear your word, Lord, to draw closer to you. Lord, to stand up and say, I'm a Christian, to be identified with this end time word, Lord. We just appreciate that opportunity, Lord. And Lord, we want to just commit this time to you and commit our hearts to you. And Lord, commit every part of our being to you, Lord. Right now, just for this little time as we change the order of the service, Lord, we just ask you to speak to us and feed us, Lord, and minister to every need, Father. Lord, for we have many needs, but Lord, we know that you supply every need that we have. We thank you, Father. And Lord, we just ask you to be with our pastor and Sister Baker today, Lord, and just bless them and strengthen them, Father. And Lord, be with this service and the service tonight, Father, all day, Lord. We just commit the day to you. It's your day, Father. And Lord, we're your children, and we want to honor you in everything, Father. Lord, so we just ask you to bless this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Just good to be here today. Amen. And glad to be back. It's my wife and I were trying to figure out how long it's been. I've been kind of out for a while and traveling and doing different things. So we just appreciate the opportunity to be back in service. And I want to thank you all, first of all, those of you that were praying for the meetings in Chivac, Alaska. We just had a really wonderful time there. They had, Wednesday night through the weekend, and so we had six services there, and had the opportunity to meet some new brothers, and one of the brothers from Pennsylvania was also one of the ministers for the meetings. And on the way there, we were sitting in one of the airports. It takes basically 2 days of travel to get there because of the timing. It's four flights, so the timing, the way the flights are arranged, you kind of have to stay over. So it's kind of a long trip to get up there. And in one of the airports, we were sitting there waiting for the next flight, and we struck up a conversation with a state trooper who worked there, and he worked out in the villages. So where Chivac is out, it's one of the native villages out in the tundra of Alaska, western Alaska. And there are lots of villages out there, and they're all very small. I think Chivac, they said the population's like 1,000. And so there are some little smaller, a little bigger, but they're all, you know, pretty small. And we were talking to him about, you know, he as a state trooper, he goes and kind of is around in some of the villages, and he's the main police presence there in some of those villages. And we were asking him what he faces, and he was telling us, you know, because basically what he's seeing is the symptoms, right, of a spiritual condition, kind of like a doctor, right? A doctor, they're going to see the symptoms, the physical manifestation of demon powers. But a police officer, a state trooper, they're going to see the same thing in a different way. And so we got a real good sense from him, just the conditions of some of those villages. And, you know, brother, sister, we all face demons. Every single one of us, no matter where we live, we're all facing the powers of darkness. But we also know that there are different demons over different parts of the world and parts of the country, and different cultures and people are more susceptible to certain types of attacks than others. Well, it happens that there's a lot of alcoholism, there's a lot of depression, a lot of child abuse, a lot of just horrible things like that. Drug abuse is starting to become more prevalent. It's very difficult for them to get drugs in just because everything is flown in or comes in on a boat. So it's easier for them to head it off, but it still makes its way in. And so it's no different in Chivac. It's the same way with all those villages. So we came to face to face with a lot of demons, a lot of alcohol demons, a lot of just people dealing with some really, really heavy stuff, you know. But our God is God. And we saw a lot of deliverance. And so the meetings were very successful. A lot of people, you know, were really touched by the Lord. There was a nice prayer line the very last? No, it was the Saturday night service. There was a real nice prayer line. A lot of deliverance. The brothers and sisters that are solid, there is a solid group there. Amen. And they are believers. They come behind in nothing. They are founded in the Word. And they were strengthened and encouraged to go on. So we just appreciate your prayers. Thank you for that. It was successful. And as Brother Branham taught us, your prayers matter. And it can be the difference maker. And so we really, truly appreciate it. Those of us that traveled, we always lean on knowing that the folks back home are praying for us. So I appreciate it. I want to thank you all for that. Unfortunately, coming home, both Brother Flint Take, who also ministered in the meetings, and I both contracted COVID. So it was, you know, we didn't get a lot of sleep to start with. Just to give you an idea, I guess this is kind of a missionary report. Is that okay? Just for a few minutes here. In Alaska this time of year when we were there, the official sunset, I think, is like around 11 p.m., but it stays light until almost 1 in the morning. So you have service and you get out, you know, 3-hour service, and you get out at 10 o'clock at night and it's broad daylight. So you get out and you're like, well, okay, you know, it's daytime, you know, well, it's time to eat. Let's go eat something. And then, you know, so I didn't get a lot of sleep. You know, we were there for almost a week. It was, I don't know, six, well, in Alaska, yeah, about a week. So not much sleep. And then the meetings, the stress of the meetings and preaching and stuff on top of that, and the prayer lines and stuff. So I was very extremely worn down. And then to get COVID on top of it, traveling, had to travel 2 days home. And then having COVID on top of that, I'm a little tired this morning still. So you can probably tell. And you can probably hear in my voice that I'm pretty congested still. I want to thank Brother Eli. I was responsible for one of the Sundays. I think last Sunday, I was supposed to preach. Brother Eli took those services for me. So thank you, brother. I appreciate that, his willingness to do that. And I enjoyed those services. Amen. And I know that God really, really used our brother. It's my lot to be here today. So I just would ask that, and I only tell you that just so that you know, if I break into a coughing fit, it's not because I'm contagious or anything. It's just I have congestion and that I have that little lingering kind of tickle thing going on in my throat. So we'll just trust the Lord. Amen. Might not be able to preach. I might just have to talk to you today if that's okay. But we'll just trust him and believe. Amen. And then we just want to pray for Brother Doug and Sister Baker as they'll be heading back, I believe, this week. So we just want to remember them in prayer. Amen. So I have to cough. Amen. It's just that annoying little, somebody's got a feather. There's a little guy with a feather in the back of my throat and he's tickling it. And it's very, very annoying. Amen. Well, do you love the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to read, and I'm going to be sucking on cough drops too, so if you hear that, don't let that stumble you. Overlook these things, all right? Look past the flesh this morning, and just we'll just focus on the Word. Is that all right? Amen. God bless you, sisters. I haven't got to meet you yet, but it's nice to have you with us. Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand again. Let's just read a few portions of Scripture here. The brother's going to have to be quick on the mute button in case I miss the mute button when I cough. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. Amen. Paul speaking here, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." In other words, he says, I'm just going to surrender myself, and I'm going to put aside, you know, anything that gets in the way, and be a servant, that I might be able to fulfill my commission. Right? He says, "Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ." In other words, Gentiles that were not under the Mosaic law, right? "That I might gain them that are without the law, that I might he might be able to minister to Gentiles. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. Know you not, they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run, that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." Temperate meaning he has control. Amen? Temperance is control. So in all things, he's disciplined and under the control of a power. Amen? "Now they which do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Amen. And also 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them also that love is appearing." Amen. You can have your seats this morning. God bless you. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. And so we just would like this morning to kind of focus in on Paul speaking about finishing his course. Amen. Running his race and how we would run our race. And Paul likens the Christian life to a race. And it's something that, as speaking to the Corinthians, that they would have understood very well, because they were very familiar in that area. They had something very similar to the Olympic Games. They called it the Isthmian Games, I think. So Corinth is on an isthmus, right? If you remember geology in school. And so they basically had their own Olympics, and for many, many years. In fact, when they would have the Olympics, they would have their games the year before the Olympics. Because the Olympics, remember, every 4 years. And they would have it before and after the Olympic games. So they were very familiar with races and athletics and running. And it was part of their economy and part of their culture. And they would have understood that. And so Paul brings them this analogy of a Christian life running the race. Amen. Or fighting, boxing, beating the air. And we understand that as well. As part of our culture, we understand this analogy. But Paul is encouraging us, and he tells Timothy, he says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And this has always stood out to me so much, not just because Paul is telling Timothy, you know, fight the good fight of faith, which he is. But the way he says I finished my course. Amen. He didn't finish someone else's course. He says, I finished my course. The implication, of course, is that you have a course. Right? And he's speaking to Timothy, a younger man. He's encouraging him in the ministry. I finished my course. You run yours. Amen. And I believe that that's what the Bible speaks to us today. He's finished his course, but we have a course. We have a race to run. Is that right? And our race, our course, isn't the same as Paul's, and it isn't the same as anybody else's. There's a saying in the hiking community. There's people that do these long distance hikes, right? They call them through hikers, where they'll hike like the Arizona Trail. They'll hike from Mexico, the Mexican border, to the Utah border, the entire length of Arizona, right? And they call them through hikers because they go the entire length of the trail, and it can take them months to do these large, long hikes. But they have a saying in that sort of the hiking community that goes like this. It says, "Hike your own hike." Maybe you've heard something like that. But the sentiment is that everybody has their own pace, right? They all might be, you know, on the same trail, but don't compare yourself to someone else. Because once you start comparing yourself, everyone has a different, in hiking, everyone has a different pace, a different strength level. They have different motivation. Maybe some, they're really into seeing the sights and they want to go here and see this and see that. Some just want to get there as fast as they can. They're all a little different. But if you start comparing it yourself, then you ruin the whole experience for yourself. Because you put unreasonable expectations, you breed discontent by comparing yourself. And this is true in spiritual application. Amen? We can't compare ourselves to our brothers and sisters. We compare ourselves to one, and that's Christ. Amen? Amen? You start comparing yourself to one another, then you cause problems. Because one person may be led by God to do a certain thing a certain way. Amen? And if you compare yourself to them, you have different gifts. You're running a different race. You have different trials. You're made differently than they are. God might be dealing with them in a completely different way. There might be something in their life that you don't know about that God is dealing with specifically. And so then when you start comparing it, you start to disrupt the plan of God. Not only that, it creates discontent. I was thinking about that in hiking terms this morning. I hope a couple of my brothers don't feel bad if I mention their names. But sometimes us brothers like to get together and hike. And my brother Fernando, I don't know, I'll see him, there he is in the back. Brother Fernando is a fanatical hiker. If you hike with Brother Fernando, you will feel inadequate. You will feel slow, you'll feel old, you'll feel tired, because he could go to the top of the hill, come back down, go to the top of the hill, come back down, go to the top of the hill, and all the time it takes me to go to the top of the hill one time. So if I compare myself to Brother Fernando, I will be discontent. Amen? So if I want to enjoy myself, I can't compare myself to my brother. Amen? He's the Energizer Bunny, and I'm not. I'm slow. And then there's other brothers, like my brother Michael. He's an excellent hiker, but Brother Michael's probably three times as strong as I am. He could put a pack on his back and go up the hill and, you know, not even break a sweat, and I could carry maybe half the weight, maybe a third of the weight, right? So I can't compare myself to these other brothers. Because if I do, I would never go out there and do it, right? I would lose the joy. And one of the surefire ways to lose your joy in this Christian walk is to be discontent And discontentment comes from comparison many, many times. Just in natural things, if people compare possessions, they compare, I've got this and this one's got that. Well, what is that breeding? Discontent. Right? That's what marketing is all about. They want you to be discontent. Look what these guys have and look what you don't have. Right? So we want to run our own race. We have our own walk. We have our own gifts. We have our own talents. We have our own life. We have what God has called each and every one of us to be and to do. Amen. And that's what we want to run. But we want to run it. We don't want to be dilatory. We don't want to walk the race. Amen. Running the race means that we are pushing and pressing and we're doing all that we can. It's not a casual thing. Amen. So let me just read Hebrews 12, 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The race that is set before us. If you're trying to run somebody else's race, you're going to get it all mixed up. Amen? But God has set a race and a course for each one of us. So let us run that race. There's a saying, you know, that we've heard probably many times. If you begin to think of other people's trials, think about somebody else's trials and then think, would you trade your trials for their trials? Right? And if you thought hard enough about it, you probably would just take your trials back. Amen? Run the race that is set before. It doesn't matter anyway. You can't take their trials. Amen? What God has placed before you in your life, trials, temptations, things to overcome, that's the race that's been set before you. But as part of that, you look unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. He created the course for you. Amen? Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, he had a specific course. He had a race to run. It describes part of what it was. He endured the cross, despised the shame. He had to go through those things. No one could do it for him. That was his course. Amen? But he did it because there was a joy set before him. Amen? And there was a victory at the end. And it was pleasing to God for him to run that course, to run that race, and to overcome those things. So that he would be set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Amen? So he's the author and creator of our specific life, our course. The course that we will run, he is the one who has started it. And he's the one that will finish it. And he's determined what each child will go through. Amen? We don't know. We don't know what the next twist and turn will be. I don't know if any of you have ever seen, they do this racing, car racing called rally racing. And they're amazing. Like, they do it a lot in Europe, and it's just these backcountry roads, and they are flying on these little cars and these little roads, and they're taking turns like, I don't know how they're doing it, but there's a co-pilot who's sitting there. There's a guy driving, and then there's a guy sitting next to him, and he's got a map, and he's telling him, okay, this turn coming up, you know, it's this tight, and, you know, it's coming up in 500 yards, and the guy's like turning before he's even there, and they're just flying. Because they've got a map and they know, well, now turn here, turn left, and now we're turning right, and there's a guy telling him, right? We don't have that. I know I'm not telling you anything new here this morning, but you don't know what trial's coming your way next. Amen. You don't know how your course is going to turn. You might wake up one morning and all of a sudden everything is set on its turned upside down. Amen. You don't know what tomorrow will hold, but we know who holds tomorrow. But it means we can't study it out. We can't plan it out. We can't use our own human intellect, amen, to get ready and prepare. What we have to do is be close to the one who knows. Amen. Because we have a pilot. He's not the co-pilot. He's the pilot. And he knows every twist and turn, every trial, every temptation, every sickness. Amen. Every hardship. And through him, he makes a way for us to go through each and every one. Amen. Assured victory. We are assured victory this morning. Amen. He promised to never leave you or forsake you. He promised to take you through every trial, every temptation in life. Amen. So we don't have to worry, because we know that our race course is predestinated of our Father. And, you know, like I said, they're all a little different. We have a little different race that we run in this age because we're in the seventh church age. Amen. It's a little different than previous ages. We aren't being dragged through a coliseum and being torn apart by lions, or we're not facing the dark ages where the word of God was withheld from the people in spiritual darkness. We aren't facing those things. Per se, other people in this age might face forms of that, but we're at a different time, and so we're all in the finishing up time. Amen. This is the age of rapture. This is the age of the finishing up of the Gentile season, and we're facing different demon powers. We're facing or different anointings. Amen. There's all the spiritual demons that have been unleashed in this time. So we're running that race, and we're bringing the Gentile age to the finish line, finally defeating death. I mean, think about that. No other age has been called to do that. But there are those in this age that part of their race, their course, will be to ultimately defeat death. To be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Amen? So we all have to find our place. We have to find our role. And we have to find our individual race that we run. You know, like we've said many times, we have to find ourselves in the book. We have to find the prophecy of the word concerning us. What it's speaking about us, and we have to find our name in that book and know that we've got a portion of the word to live out in our day. Amen. That we are living out the word. We are contending for the faith. Amen. We're not just passive observers, but we are contending. We're in the fight. Amen. We're earnestly contending to the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That means we are battling against demon powers. We're battling against unbelief. We're holding a standard. We're living out the standard. We're lighthouses that show that what the word of God meant when it was speaking about sanctified people of God, people of the book. Amen? Showing what it means to be a Christian and to live out a true holy life. Living out this word. Jude chapter 3, we'll just quote read these scriptures here this morning, if that's all right. The ones that we just quoted you a little bit. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Defending the faith. Amen? Earnestly contending for the faith. Amen. That means that you've got a little bit of an attitude about it, right? That you know what? I'm not going to let Satan twist this word. And I'm not going to let him, you know, water it down and change it and try and bend it to societal norms. Whatever society says, what education says. I'm not going to let him do that. I'm going to live the life. I'm going to live the word just like it's written. Philippians 3:7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. So Paul says, look, this is worth leaving everything else behind. Suffered loss of all things and count it dung that I may win Christ. He's got his eye on the prize. Amen. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. Yes. Amen? I'm chasing it. Right. I'm pressing into it. Amen? Amen. I'm earnestly contending for it. Amen. If that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. As many of you are mature, perfect, right? When he says many as be perfect, he's not talking about sinless perfection. He's talking about maturity in Christ. Those that are mature, amen, be that you're minded in that way, that you are pressing. It's not, I'm mature, so now I get to kick back and, you know, kick my feet up and, right? People have the wrong impression of, oh, I'm a mature Christian. Somehow I arrived. You see the difference in what Paul is saying. He's a mature Christian. Right? And he's saying, I have not apprehended. I'm pressing on. Right. If maturity in Christ just means that you realize what you are pressing towards. As many as be perfect. In other words, in lacking nothing, whole and complete, be thus minded. If in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. If you're not quite there, you don't quite have that revelation, God will lead you into that. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us mind the same thing. Amen? So, excuse me. I just put one of those under my tongue. Amen. It's better than coughing in your ear. So our course is to live this word. Amen? Amen? To live it out. And we're living it out in a dark time, a darker time than ever has been known. We're in Satan's Eden. And, you know, we are here to prove what is a godly son. What is a godly daughter of God? A godly mother, a godly father, a godly child. A godly boy or girl, man or woman. Amen? Crazy that we even have to say that. We all have that in common. We are all in this age running this course together. But yet we are all running our own individual race. Amen? This is from the marriage of the Lamb. Abraham was promised a child. But he must maintain this promise for 25 years. The ups and downs that he had, temptations in those 25 years, but he held to that word of promise. That was his race. That was his course. Amen? To be given a promise, hold on for 25 years, and obtain the promise. That was how God dealt with Abraham. And Israel was promised a promised land, but they had to fight for every inch of it. That was their course. Right? They had to take the land. Physically fight to take the land. Wherever the shoes of your of the soles of your foot tread upon, that I have given you, God said to Joshua. It was all there. The land was there, and God gave it to them, but they had to fight for it. The same way it is about divine healing. God's got the power to heal you if you've got the courage to accept it, but you'll fight every inch of the way. Amen. And brother, sister, the race that we call life that you're on, you're going to fight. You're going to have to. We're in a battle. And every inch of that you will gain is going to be a battle. Because you have an enemy that's trying to hinder you. He says, you'll fight every inch of your way. I've been behind the pulpit going on 31 years. And every inch of that has been a fight. Preaching the word, every inch of it, he said, has been a fight. Every time he steps out to do something for the work of God, there's an enemy right there trying to hinder. And it's a battle. It's a fight. Amen? Now, you may not be a preacher, but you have a life to live. You have a testimony to walk in. And Satan's going to fight every inch of the way. He says every inch of that has been a fight constantly. It certainly has. But we must fight if we must reign. So we find out that the bride has to make herself ready. Be willing to lay aside every weight that doth so easily beset us, that we might run with patience the race that's set before us. So you see how he's tying those things together, right? Fighting every inch. That's how the bride makes herself ready. That's how she runs the race. That's the patience, amen, that we run with. I mean, if you're only making progress an inch at a time, that takes patience sometimes, doesn't it? Amen? But you have to know that you are moving forward. I don't care if it's 1 inch, if it's 2 inches, if it's a quarter inch. As long as we're moving forward. As long as we're taking land from the enemy. As long as we're running the race and staying the course. That's where the patience comes in. Run with patience the race set before us. You know, because I was wondering about that, because if you see runners, right? Like, running doesn't seem like a patient thing. Right? The whole reason you're running is to get there faster than walking. Right? If I walk somewhere, if I wanted to patiently go, I would walk there. But if I'm impatient, I run. Right? That's the way I don't know. Maybe I'm weird. But that's the way I've always looked at it, right? How do you run with patience? But this race that we're on, brother, sister, sometimes it doesn't seem like we're making progress. Amen? It doesn't seem like the devil's moving. But it's inch by inch. It's prayer by prayer. Day by day, one step at a time. Amen. We push that enemy off of our grounds. We must lay aside ourselves, he says. We can't say, God, you come and lay them aside for us. We got to do that ourselves. Amen. So that's our predestinated course. Amen. We are called to overcome unbelief in our lives. Now, that doesn't mean that you're called to overcome someone else's unbelief. Amen? You've been called to defeat the powers of darkness in your life. In your area of influence. Amen? And, you know, excuse me. Sometimes we're looking so much at others around us that we miss the attack of the enemy going on right in our life. Amen? It's so much easier. I mean, Jesus expressed it, right? He's like, look, take the beam out of your own eye before you can help your brother take the little mote out of his eye. Right? It's so easy for us to go, dude, you got this beam in your eye. I mean, I can see it clearly, right? Look at the problems in their lives. If only they would do this, if only they would do that, I know how to solve their problems perfectly. If they would just listen to me. Right? And then miss the attack of the enemy in your life. So, Jesus said, he didn't say don't help your brother, just make sure that you pull the beam out of your eye first. Right? Make sure that your life is in order. Man, make sure that things are attended to first, and then you can help somebody else maybe, right? You don't jump into the quicksand with them. Get to safety and then pull them out. But brother, sister, our calling is not to root out sin in other people's lives. But we are called to root out sin in our own life. Amen. To be on guard and to fight against the enemy's incursions into our homes and our lives. To look and to discern the powers of darkness at work. Amen. And push them out. Pray them out. Keep them at bay with the word of God. Use the word of God and prayer against the enemy in your life. Amen. Because it's your course to run. You're the one that's running it. Amen. I can't run it for you. Pastor can't run it for you. Your parents can't run it for you. No matter how much somebody would want to, no one can run your race except for you. Amen. But you can encourage someone. Amen. You can inspire them. You know that word encourage. It means to impart courage to somebody. All right? To give them confidence and to give them inspiration. To help them along when they need it. When they're sad or they've lost their vision. Man, maybe they've lost their patience. But you can bind your faith together with another brother or sister and help them. You can't walk through that trial for them. Oh, sometimes we would love to do that, especially for our children. Amen. We just love to, Lord, let me walk this, you know, I'll take that trial and I'll walk it for them. But that's not for you. It's for them. But you can help them. Amen. We can bind together by faith and we can agree in prayer. I can't heal you, but I can bind faith together with you. And together, the prayer of faith can save the sick. Amen? But you've got to believe. You know, Brother Branham, we see that illustrated so many times in the prayer lines. Where he could pray for somebody and they could be healed. And then they could leave and walk out and whatever it was would come back on them. Right? And he taught them that you've got to believe. The prophet of the age could believe for you up to a point. But there was a trial, a race that they had to run. They had to go through that trial. They had to defeat that enemy. Amen. Or he wasn't defeated. He would just come right back. And brother, sister, we have to have faith ourselves. Amen. We have to trust God. Each and every individual child is going to come through the fiery trials to prove their faith. It's your responsibility to finish your race. It's not anybody else's. You're the one that has to stay in the race. Amen? Amen? We can't do it for you. We can encourage you, and we will. We'll pray for you and with you. And we'll preach to you and whatever it takes. But every individual has to run the race themselves. But God has provided the body of Christ to help. Amen. It is a help. We are instructed in the word to provoke one another to good works. Why? Because you could make the difference. You could be the one that brother or sister who's fallen for the 50th time and they're struggling just to get back up. You could be the one to encourage them. You can't get it up for them. You can't run the race for them, but your encouragement might lift them up to where they'll go on and take that next step. Amen? And we can call others to the race. Amen? Get in the race. You've got sidelined. The enemy has distracted you and pulled you away. Get back in it. Amen? Show them where they're wrong and where they need to go. Get those in touch with the author and finisher of the race. Amen? That he can show them what they're supposed to be doing. Because, you know, brother, sister, just like any race, there are rules, amen, that we have to follow. And you got to run the race according to the rules. Every good athlete understands this, amen? And if they try and break the rules, they're not going to win. They're probably going to be disqualified or something like that, right? So a good athlete, they'll know the rules. They'll study the rules. They'll be really acquainted with the rules. They'll know loopholes if there are any. Right? They want to give their best effort according to the rules of the game. And so we should understand God's plan. Amen? Like I said, we don't know our course. We can't change it, but we know, we understand the Word of God, right? We need to know the Word and how to work according to His Word. We can't decide our own course, right? We can't change it. We can't say, Lord, I'm sorry, I am not going this way. I am not doing this. If you do that, that way is destruction, right? Because the Bible says that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the in their way, I think, is destruction, I think is how it goes, right? Or death. The ends thereof are death. Right? That's somebody who's decided to break the rules. God has laid out a path, a course. And you say, I don't like that. I don't want to die out. I don't want to circumcise my flesh. I don't want to surrender. Amen? I don't like this about the Word. I'm not going to live that way. Well, you don't live in according to the rules of the race. You can't win the race. Amen? You can't get to the end. You can't finish the course. You can't say, I was faithful to finish the course. Amen? If you're not going to line up with the rules. Amen? People rest. They twist. They turn the Word of God to fit what they want, and they do it to their own destruction. Amen? I'm still amazed, you know, when we read, I listen to all kinds of different things, you know, in Christianity, it's amazing to me how many Christian organizations there's still a disagreement about women preachers. Right? Something that you can just read in the Word. And they always come back to, oh, but, you know, I just really felt. I felt led. I felt God was calling me to this. Well, that's nice. You have nice feelings, right? And you want to help. But that isn't the Word of God. People take that and they'll twist the Word of God, and it's to their own destruction. Amen? Amen. From the message, What It Takes to Overcome. I just read this to you. Amen. Apologize. There's an old proverb that's more than a proverb. He says, no matter who's there first, you have to play by the rules of the game or you'll never win. If a runner is running around the track and one takes a shortcut and cuts through the field and beats the other one there by a half hour, he will be disqualified at the end of the race. He's got to play it according to the rules of the game or he's disqualified. And that's the way we have to do. The race of life that we're running now, it has to be played according to God's qualifications, or we'll lose when we get there. Whether we're president, or whether we're governor, or minister, or what church we belong to, or what denomination, the rules of the game has to be kept. We must run it fair. We must play it by the rules. We must preach the word. We must do it willingly. Paul said, I believe in Hebrews chapter 12, that seeing we are compassed about with such great a cloud of witnesses, right? We just read this, that scripture. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, that we might run with patience the race that's set before us. Paul was speaking the Olympics and so forth, that was in Greece and Rome and so forth, and he knew that you had to play that game fair. And if you did not, you'd be disqualified. And tonight, as born-again Christians, as believers here at the end time, we've got to play the game according to the rules. We've got to run with patience the race that's set before us, looking to the author and finisher, Jesus Christ. Amen? So we can't make up our own rules. Amen? We can't just decide, wake up and decide one morning, well, you know, God said this, but I'm going to go this direction. Right? We can't make a different way than what God has already laid out for us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. So he doesn't let himself get entangled with the things of life. He doesn't let himself get distracted from the course, from the race that he's on. Amen? And he does it lawfully. He strives, he pushes, he does everything that he can, but he does it according to God's will. God's will and plan for his life. Amen? We've got to do it that way. We can't be warring against the word of God. And that's where people wanting to do God a service without it being his will. Right? I'm pressing. I'm doing everything I can for the kingdom of God. Look at the great things I'm doing. Look at this. Look at that. And not according to the word of God. You're pressing, you're warring, you're striving, you're running, but you're not doing it according to the rules. Amen? And how people will push against the word of God. It amazes me sometimes. Amen? You push against the word of God. Even push against the advice that's given from the pulpit or from your pastor. Given counsel. Given sound counsel. Given the word of God. And yet push against it. And fight against it. Amen? Because that's not what I want to do. And then wonder why you're not getting anywhere. Amen? Brother, sister, there are things that will war against us. There are external forces that will try and slow you down and bring you down and try and make you stop. And part of that is reasoning with the word of God. Amen? Trying to get you off the path. Trying to get you detoured. Telling you, like Brother Branham was saying, this is a shortcut. Amen? Maybe you can get around this trial. Maybe you don't have to come the way that others have come. You don't have to get up and, you know, confess before everybody. You know, when we were up there in Chivac, a little sister got up and she confessed and apologized to the entire church. Amen? She humbled herself. She stood up before the entire church and apologized to all of them and confessed things that she had done and things that she had said about them. That wasn't easy for her to do. But you know what? There was power in it. But if she had said, no, I think I'd rather take a shortcut, she wouldn't have gotten the deliverance and the blessings, amen, that came along with that. And brother, sister, too many times we want a shortcut. Oh, Lord, you know, do I really have to crucify the flesh? Do I really have to come to church on Wednesday night? Right? We want to try and, what's the shortcut? All right, what's the easier way? Amen? I can just stay at home and listen to a tape. I can stay at home and stream or whatever. It's the shortcut. But it's not according to the rules. Amen. That's not the way God set it up. Things that aren't necessarily even sinful in our lives. Amen. But they don't move us forward and they don't help us. But we let those things drag us down. That's why the Bible says that sin, the weight that so easily besets us, it jumps on you and grabs a hold of you and says, here, pick me up and take me with you. And pretty soon you're weighted down and you can't run. Amen. We're instructed to cut off those shackles. Amen. To cut off those things. Lay aside those weights. Amen. When Jesus sets you free, you are free indeed. You're even free to go pick it back up if you want to. Oh my. Amen. Too many times we do that, right? He sets you free and you're free. Okay. Well, I'm going to go back and pick it up again and continue on my way. We don't go back. Amen. Don't go back to those old things. Don't go back to those old influences. Amen. Those things that he's delivered us from. We don't go back. When God delivers us, when he brings us out, we don't go back to those old friends, those old acquaintances. We don't go back to those old situations. Amen. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? We don't go back to those things. Looking forward, pressing forward. We march on. Amen. Others can only help you if they are in harmony with the Word of God. If they are running the race like you are. If they're not, they're not going to help you. Amen? It's not to say you have to just, you know, ignore every other person out there. Of course not. That's not what we mean. Amen? But you look to those that are in harmony with the same Word that you're in harmony with. Amen? For help and inspiration. An athlete has to be disciplined. Amen? We have to be disciplined. That's why in the Bible we're described as disciples. Amen? Disciplined and trained. An athlete trains their body. That means they bring their body into subjection. They tell their body what to do. Amen? Because they have a goal. They want to accomplish something. I'll tell you something. My body does not want to be here right now. My body wants to be in bed, but I train it and discipline it, and I tell it, too bad. You don't get to choose. Amen? They observe a very strict diet. They're very careful about what they put in their body. They science it up, right? They get the latest scientific thing, whatever powder, whatever, any little advantage they can get, they want to eat that. And they put that in their body and they feed on the right things. Amen? Oh, as spiritual athletes this morning, we got to feed on the right things. Amen? What we watch and listen to and read and feed on. There are things that, you know, we might enjoy, like ice cream. But an athlete might forego the ice cream because they have a greater goal. Amen. Would it be sinful for them to eat that ice cream? Probably not. But does it help them get to their goal? No. See? Amen. So feeding on those things helps us get to our goal. They have a very regimented schedule. You know, everything that they do revolves around their training. Their sleep is scheduled out so that they can restore their energy and recover from their workout and their training so that they're ready for the next one. Amen? That training, everything revolves around that. Their jobs revolve around that, if they have one. Right? Whatever, their family time, their eating time, their sleeping time, all revolves around that specific training schedule. They sacrifice everything, family time. They sacrifice careers. They postpone starting families. They dedicate themselves to that training. Amen? Many a times they do that without even getting paid for it. Think about that. Many of them work just so to support themselves so that they can do whatever their sport is. So, brother, sister, we are spiritual athletes. Amen? We've got to bring our flesh into subjection. We've got to be disciplined and rule over it. We've got to let our soul control. Amen? Not our body, not our spirit. We are predestinated to defeat every enemy. Every power. But to do that, brother, sister, so many times we just hurt ourselves. Amen? We are the ones self-destructing. We are the ones holding ourselves back because we're not disciplined. Amen? We're not feeding the right thing on the right things. Look at what Brother Branham says here in the message, what it takes to overcome all unbelief, our faith. Right after that or before that, he says he gave the great, so he's speaking about Hebrews. He gave the great 11th chapter of Hebrews, which gives the heroes of faith. By faith Moses, by faith Abraham, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah. All the great heroes of faith. Then saying, seeing we are compassed about with such great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin, the unbelief that doth so easily beset us. So here we are tonight, right in the shadows of the coming of the Son of God. And yet we find the church in an anemic condition. So anemic, if you have anemia, that means that you have a weakness in your blood, right? And the symptoms of anemia are you just lack strength many times. You lack energy. You lack strength. And so that's what he's saying about the church, is just lacking strength. We ought to be great, strong, mighty warriors of faith that would shake a nation. And God give it to us. We would just receive it. So there's little things upon us that holds us back from running. So let's lay aside all those little weights. Now, because we're looking to the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ, who was made man on earth and dwelt among us and was made sin, that through his righteousness we might be forgiven our sins. He become us sinners that we might become his righteousness. In other words, like this. He become me that I might become him. He was the Son of God. I was a sinner. He taken my place, become a sinner that I might be a son of God. And when we see that, it ought to attract the attention of every man and woman to lay aside every little skeptic talk. Oh, I love that. Lay aside every weight, the little unbelief that doth so easily beset us. Some little thing will come up and we'll say, well, I never heard of that before. Stretch it out, search it out in the scripture. If it's in the Bible, stay with it. But you see what he's saying about the little things that weigh us down. You know, I'm amazed when people leave church. Sometimes it's just the littlest thing. Cause them to leave church. Now, even saying that, I was like, well, it was a big thing to me. Compared to eternity? You're going to let that thing keep you away from serving God. It's like the people that say, oh, I don't want to come to church because there's hypocrites there. Well, then you're letting a hypocrite become between you and God. So the little things that easily weigh us down, and we allow those things to separate us and keep us from a closer relationship to God. Amen. Sometimes, brother, sister, it's just life piles up, right? Circumstances just pile up. And I use that word for a reason because that's what it feels like sometimes, right? When you were a kid, you probably played those games. We had names that I probably shouldn't even repeat publicly what we called them. But we had games where we would dogpile, right? You ever played those games when you were a kid? Amen? You know, one person gets anointed as it, and everybody dogpiles them. And that's what it feels like sometimes, right? It feels like circumstances are dogpiling you, right? Suddenly there's a way, one person tackles them, and you're like, oh, and then the next person on top, boom. That one knocked the wind out of me. Boom, then another one, then another one, then another one. And sometimes that's what life feels like. It feels like circumstance after circumstance after circumstance. Amen. Anybody with me here this morning? And so we allow that sometimes to talk us out of our promise. Well, maybe I'm not a child of God. Maybe I'm not predestinated. Maybe I'm not running the right race. Amen? But we allow ourselves, you know, Brother Branham saw that, remember in the zoo when he went to visit, he saw that eagle that was in the cage. He said it was the most pathetic thing because that eagle was made to fly. And it was caged up and it was trying to fly and it was beating its head against that cage trying to get out. Amen? Sometimes we allow the enemy to put us in a cage. He can't do it unless you allow him to. But he does it through that reasoning, that piling on one after another. You're not this. You're not that. You're this. You're a buzzard. You're serpent seed. Amen? You don't have to listen to that stinking liar. Don't allow him to ensnare you. Don't allow him to put you in that cage. The only way that he can get you in a cage is if he opens the door and convinces you to walk into it. He doesn't have power over you. We're supposed to be flying. We're supposed to be running a race. Amen? Look at what Brother Branham says in this message, remembering the Lord. He says, what about Judas Iscariot? He's got something to remember too. Judas has got something he's remembering tonight. Certainly, and he'll always remember it. He sold the Lord Jesus for personal gain. I wonder tonight if there isn't many doing the same thing today. Selling your birthrights for personal gain. When you should be on fire for Christ. When you should be doing something for him. In other words, for personal gain, just your desire, what you want to do. I want to do this. And so I'm going to walk that path and I'm going to leave behind what God has put in front of me. Amen. God, I'm not willing to sacrifice my goals and my dreams. He says, when you should be on fire for Christ, when you should be doing something for him, working for him or something, go join somewhere where you can live any way you want and still claim to be a Christian. Amen. And many people don't come to church because they don't want to have their sin exposed or preached against. Amen. They'd rather go live somewhere, go to church somewhere where they can just put on a tape and, you know, Brother Branham won't preach against sin here and now in this church, right? They can push it off and, well, that was, you know, 50 years ago and they don't have to see it applied to their lives. Go and live any way you want, still claim to be a Christian. That's what the world is looking for tonight. The world, I said, not the believer. The believer is looking for every straight road he can walk in to get right. In other words, the believer wants to repent. They want to know where they're wrong. I want the word to straighten me out. But the unbeliever is wanting somewhere where he can go and just maintain his profession of a Christian and then just live any way he wants to. That's what this nation wanted for a president, and that's what they got. So in other words, he's speaking about politics. They just want to hear what they want to hear. Just give me the person that's going to tell me what I want to hear. He says, that's what the church wants, and that's what they got. Yes, sir. And that's what you get. But the believer wants to have everything shaved off of him. He wants to lay aside every sin, the weight that does so easily beset him, that he might run with patience the race is set before him, looking to the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. Yeah, remembering him as we lay aside every weight. Women letting their hair grow. Men quit being Ricky. And come to church and do what's right. And all this other kind of stuff. And pastors with deacons on their board, married 3 or 4 times and all these things, compromising because they pay heavy on the plate and all. Have to knuck down. I've never seen, don't know what that word means. Knuck down. I guess that's like bow down. Acquiesce. Right? Knuck down to some organization because they tell you this is it and the Bible says something different. Lay aside every weight. Remember Jesus. He became very unpopular. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, well, we're going to wrap this up. About lost my voice already anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Amen. I want you to read that last line with me. Say, but I will not be brought under the power of any. There's one power that we submit ourselves to, and that's the power of Christ. We will not be brought under the power of any other power. Amen? Amen. But you choose that. You have a choice to be put in a cage if you want to. But we're not looking, brother, sister, as Brother Branham said, as a believer, we're not looking to see how much we can get away with and still make it. Amen? We're not trying to be flirting with the world and see how much, how close we can get to the world and still hold our testimony as a Christian. Amen. As spiritual runners, we're looking for every advantage. Amen. I'm looking for every advantage that I can get over my enemy. I'm looking for every little trick, every power, anything that I can get a hold of. I want to stay as far away from things that will weigh me down as possible so that I can run my race. Well, Paul says all things are lawful, not all things are expedient. Brother, sister, that means that we should choose the expedient. Don't you think? We don't have to. It's not unlawful. But we, as runners, that's what we should do. Choose the expedient. In other words, choose the thing that's going to help you. This is from the token message. Okay, I'm just going to read four more quotes. Well, three more quotes in a scripture, all right? And we'll quit. That's about all I have left right now. This is from the token message. No devil, no sickness, no death, no sorrow, nothing else can bother you as long as you hold that token over it. Amen. Your unchanging faith pulsates that, and it forms a form of Jesus Christ, the image that you're walking in today. When I see the token, I'll pass over you. It's a sign that the price has been paid. Jesus paid the price. You received it from him. Holding the token in your hand, you have an assurance of resurrection. You have the assurance of everything that you have need of in this journey. Everything that you need for to run your course is in the token. Amen? It's provided in the token from the suffering of Calvary, where he met the price of every curse that could be put on you. That token speaks peace. Amen. There's no devil that can stand before it. There's nothing that can stand before it because God has accepted it. You hold the token in your hand and the price is paid. Amen. Brother, sister, we've been equipped. Amen. You can't say, well, I couldn't run the race because I wasn't given what I needed to run my course. No, no one will have that excuse. Amen. We're not helpless. You are not helpless this morning. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. Amen? They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen? That's what you've been had placed in your hand. If you come up to a situation that's blocking your path, blocking your course, you have a right to move that. To go through that trial, pull out that stronghold, push it out of the way in the name of Jesus Christ and move on. That's God's promise to you. Amen. El Shaddai, he says, what is sin? Sin is unbelief. So when you kill all unbelief, you know that God's word's right, that he's the same yesterday and forever. So all the promises are yours. Walk through the land. It's all yours. It belongs to you. Just enjoy it. It's yours. God gave it to you. The grace of God, give it to you. It's all yours. When the sin question's over, you've received the Holy Ghost. Everything you have need of in life's journey is right there in the Bible for you. Everything that you have need of. Everything. Amen? Amen. Let's just stand this morning. This is Philippians chapter 2. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause you do also joy and rejoice for me. There is a prize to be won. Amen. This labor, we have not labored in vain. He says, I don't run in vain. I don't labor in vain. I make sacrifice and we do all of these things, but we rejoice because there's a prize and it's worth it. Amen. How many knows it's worth it this morning? Amen. This last one here from the Smyrnian church age, Brother Branham says, be thou faithful unto death. He does not say be faithful until death, but unto death, that you may have to seal your testimony with your blood. Thousands, yea, millions have died during all the ages. They died in the faith. Like Antipas, the faithful martyr, they held not their lives dear unto death. Often we think it would be almost impossible to be a martyr. But dare recall that the faith that we use daily, the faith that we use daily to triumph in Christ Jesus is the same faith that upholds the Polycarps and all the martyrs. The supreme faith will give supreme grace for the supreme hour. Blessed be God forever. Amen. I will give thee a crown of life, since not even a cup of cold water given in the name of the Lord fails to receive a reward. How great shall be the reward of him who gives his life as a martyr for the name of the Lord Jesus. Perhaps we can get a small idea if we compare this crown with the crown won in a race. So we read that in 1 Corinthians 9:24. Paul says, know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. Brother Bram says, a crown given to the winner of the Olympic race was a garland of olive branches. But the crown spoken here in Revelation given to a martyr is the crown of royalty. Jesus calls it the crown of life. The one crown is for those who have striven. The other is for those who have given. Both crowns are incorruptible and they will not perish. Does that sound worth it? The winners of the worldly race of life will soon lose the joy of the plaudits of the world. Their glory will fail. But those who give their lives for God, either by daily striving or shedding their blood as the crowning sacrifice of their life. So see, he's not saying you have to be a martyr to get this crown. Amen. Right? There is those who die daily. Amen. He says daily striving or shedding their blood as crowning sacrifice of their lives will be given the crown of life. All too little time is spent on laboring for the eternal rewards of God. All too little time is spent laboring for the eternal rewards of God. We spend so much time laboring for natural reward, natural gain, but too little time spent for laboring for the rewards of God. The recompense of God is too lightly esteemed. If we believe in the reality of the resurrection of the body and an eternal kingdom of substance, then we ought to lay up in heaven those good treasures that are available to the faithful saints. Amen. Amen. You believe that this morning? Amen. But run your race. Amen. Don't run somebody else's race. You run your race. God's got a course for your life. He's got a race for you to run. Amen. He's got trials predestinated, perfect for you. Amen. And he's made a way through each and every one of them. And he's predestinated his children to be overcomers. Amen. To go through everything victorious, amen, coming out the other side as gold refined in the fire. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. What a glorious gospel. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? Amen. Knowing that there's nothing that we go through but what he's already predestinated it. He's already made a way. Amen. And knowing that that's your course to run. Amen. Do you love him this morning? Amen. Amen. Thank you for bearing with me this morning. Let's just bow our heads. Oh, Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for you, Lord, for your word, Lord, for your grace and mercy in our lives, Father. Lord, I just pray that you'd just be with each one this morning, Lord, as, Lord, we go our separate ways, close this service, come back tonight. Father, I pray that you just be with each heart. Father, may this word, oh God, just speak to us, Lord. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be like those athletes, Father, spiritual athletes, Lord, dying out daily, Lord, laying aside every weight, Lord, keeping our eye on the prize. God, being disciples and disciplined, Lord, keeping our flesh in check, Lord. Not letting little things get in the way, get our eyes distracted, Lord, from the vision that you've given us. I thank you, Father, that you've given us such a great vision, Lord. You've given us such a, you've put before us such a wonderful prize, Lord. Let us run that race with patience, Lord. Father, maybe some just needed some encouragement this morning, Lord. Maybe they haven't seen that progress. Maybe they feel like they just beat their head up against the wall, Lord. But Lord, that's why you said run with patience, Lord. And I appreciate, Lord, what your prophet said, inch by inch. It may not be huge gains every single day, but yet every day getting up and moving forward, saying, I'm a child of God, and I'm going to keep walking, and I'm going to keep walking. One day I'm going to bust through. Amen. And I'm going to see that victory. Oh, how we thank you, Father. I pray that you just encourage each heart this morning. We thank you so much, Lord. Bless your word as it just ministers to our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.